Guten Abend, herzlich willkommen im Haus der Kulturen der Welt zu Schools of Tomorrow. Mein Name ist Bernd Scherer.
Good evening, everybody. I'm happy to welcome you to our conference, Schools of Tomorrow. I'm Bernd Scherer. And together with Sylvia Fehrmann, my colleague and the curator of the conference and the program, I will tell you a bit what we had in mind when planning a conference on schools, the schools of tomorrow. Schools are important because schools, that's where tomorrow's society is being formed. The knowledge of one generation is being transmitted to another generation. Societies follow up on themselves through schools. And knowledge is not only passed on in schools. Schools also generate new knowledge. And when we talk about schools, we also talk about societies. What school do we want implies the question, what society do we want? Which is why this is a project which is about a statement and about the normative. When we pondered the question of how to organize a conference on schools, we had some dates in mind. I mean, your own experience, for example. I myself am the son of a teacher. My father was at the time considered a good teacher. He was the director of a school at the time. And when I was a child, and that's what I will never forget, is that he, at age 40, knew what content to teach at schools and in what way and in what forms. My experience today is that I am facing new knowledge and new experiences each and every week. And sometimes I don't know what to think of what I see and experience. So there is an important question connected to the idea of content and how it's mediated in schools. Maybe this is also about learning to learn. Sylvia, maybe you can tell us a bit more about the program.
Good evening. We are going to continue in German. There are devices outside, and the first chapters will be switching into from German to English. Aber das ist nur eine technische Ansage, die notwendig ist. Du sagtest, Wissenschaft schreibt.
Right. Society follows up on schools. School follow up on society. And the interesting bit is that you never know what the result will be, i.e. we are dealing with a narrative. However, this narrative can be interrupted, can be rewritten. Now, in Germany, we have an excellent example of this historical follow-up. And that is when the schools of a dictatorial regime were turned into schools into a democratic regime. Maybe your father was involved too, but maybe he was a teacher at a time when there were no major changes. So when dealing with the question of how to update or to project schools forward, and when dealing with the question how to make schools interesting enough so that people like going to school or sending their children to school, we are having to deal with the challenges. And in many societal sectors, we are facing major dynamics, development dynamics, which are meaning major challenges for us, to us, and which refer to many sectors in society. How to deal with complexity, for example. The change we are witnessing is extremely fast, and often we lack the tools to deal with the knowledge or lack of knowledge. I mean, learning as such is nothing new. Learning was also what the individual reform educational concepts were about. John Dewey would be an excellent example here, and he's the one we are referring to with our conference. 100 years ago, he wrote a book with the title Schools of Tomorrow. This was about the transformation of his time in 1915 and how schools reacted in view of this transformation. This was about the industrialization, migration, and urbanization buzzwords, which certainly seem familiar to you. And he also pondered the question, what can be done in order to have systems that work, schools that work? And in his time, these were experimental schools which would promote interaction, mutual learning, and a shared focus. So learning to learn, which could also be a feature to characterize Google today, was an important feature for him. Learning for democracy was what it was all about for him. And that's still an important question, of course. How do we democratize schools? How do we share knowledge? Now, dealing with the lack of knowledge or ignorance also concerns the teachers themselves, i.e., contrary to the traditional idea according to which there is the knowing person, the teacher, on the one side, and the learning person, the learners, the pupils and students on the other side. But that's not a principle we can apply any longer. This image is not true anymore. And there are many fields where students are experienced, but teachers are not. Technological development would be an example. The students, the pupils, have learned to deal with technical devices in their everyday lives. Whereas the older generation, and I'm one of them, doesn't provide of the knowledge. At least it's not everyday life knowledge, which means a new challenge for the teachers. But the same goes for the world of labor. And especially if we go and ask, what does complexity mean with a view to this ignorance, to this lack of knowledge? And in order to ponder the question, we have invited a number of people in order to talk about the different sectors in society and different developments, digital and analog strategies, for example, which are being applied in order to generate knowledge, will be on our agenda. This is going to be an inauguration conference, so to speak, and we will ponder numerous questions, and we hope to embark on a number of practical projects after the conference, i.e., the conference is but the beginning. Philosophy is my special field, and I was always interested in the Memnon dialogue with Plato. This was about a slave who had never heard about mathematics or geometry. And he's taught how to double the surface of a square. Teaching is an interesting process because the teacher doesn't tell him what it's going to be in the end, but helps the slave discover the problem. The question is, what do we do today? How do we deal with this situation today? Now, Memnon could also be read as a recommendation today, instructions, so to speak, because Socrates solves the paradoxical problem the slave poses. Because on the one hand, he's dealing with a slave. Schleiermacher wrote about it, by the way, also. But actually, the solution is a didactic performance, an experiment, an aesthetical trick. Yeah, I always knew that teachers are actors. Yeah, that's what the text says too. Right. I mean, if you are teachers, you might want to develop your actors and actresses' capacities. By the way, it also goes for cultural managers. A last question, because we want to underline the aspect of the school being a key institution in which people learn how to think societies, how to act in societies. However, the challenges we are facing today are ambivalent ones. On the one hand, we want to develop democracy and freedom. On the other hand, we also want to promote and encourage solidarity. Now, this is what people often see as a field of tension. And the challenge is most probably how to develop methodologies so that solidarity does not become the contradiction or an opposition of individualization and freedom. Now, there are lots of debates focusing on the status quo, and many schools want to keep the status quo as far as digitization is concerned or the school forms. And there is often an attempt made to segregate instead of mixing. People are much more interested in homogeneity instead of exercising solidarity. And an important step to implement a democratic practice at schools would be an awareness of the privileges the players are used to, were used to, and are used to. And we are certainly among those privileged players, and we need to help implement a democratic practice, and we need to live it. Right, that's the beginning of the next 3 days. And Sylvia, you will tell us more about the program now. Right. 3 days. This is the opening conference of an open discussion we want to have in the next few months, and we hope to trigger numerous projects, and you can see the details in the evening program tonight. We're happy to welcome Sharon Dadua Otu. She's a writer, an activist, and a mother. She was awarded the Ingeborg Bachmann Award, one of the most important prizes granted for literature in Germany, for a wonderful text, which is full of irony and very accurate. It's the description of a German couple as seen by the breakfast egg. So we are very much looking forward to Sharon Dodua or to telling us more about her life as a mother of four sons who are here today. Afterwards, the stage will be plurivocal because the HKW project New Experts will join us here on stage, and also representatives of JugendHackt. This is a research project carried out by 12 Europaschulen in Berlin. It was done last year with artists, writers, experts for refugee matters, teachers, students, hosts, and representatives of the HKW came together last year in order to ponder the perspectives of students in view of society. There was a congress held here on this very stage, and we are happy that the congress agents agreed to talk to us today, and we are also very much looking forward to the representatives of JugendHackt. That's an initiative we have not much worked with in the past, but it's an initiative training young programmers. They are doing exciting things, like apps you can use to get guidance for your activities or support for refugees in a number of cities. So we will have Jugendhackt and neue Experten and new experts on stage later. What they will present is also part of a workshop we did in the last few days. And I'm also happy to welcome Carrie Facer here. I'm very happy to have her here. Her books and publications are a wonderful combination or mix of systematic observation and political imagination. And we are very happy to have her among our keynote speakers at the opening night. Sharon Dodua-Otoo, please join me on stage.